Thank God for gathering us once again for Bible study. Exhortation to Faithfulness Part 2 is today's message taken from Exodus chapter 34:18-26. We began last week with three thoughts: pardon, verse 9, promise, verse 10-11, purity, verse 12-17. Today we're going to talk about piety, 18-26. We recapped, Israel was recovering from a fearsome bout of unfaithfulness by their open idolatry in making the golden calf when Moses was up in the mount receiving the laws of God. God is seeking to make Israel a holy people, separate unto himself, so that their example may jot other nations to acknowledge the living and true God. You see, privilege also comes with a responsibility, and the Lord has made the nation of Israel so special that they are so nigh unto him. And yet, in all the closeness that God allowed them to do so, they have abused, in the sense, that privilege. Instead of drawing near to God with gratefulness, with gratitude, with thanksgiving, they began to go a-whoring right under the mount. And as you think about it, don't you think it is very frightening? Very frightening, the heart of man, that there is no true faithfulness. Very frightening. But this is the reality. This is the reality. And the reality is also that, you know, you can't draw close to God and receive his blessings any other way. God will not bless a double heart. God blesses a heart that is whole. The word holy, we said, is holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And the Lord seeks for his people to follow him with a sincere heart, follow him simply by trusting him and receiving the true instructions for life. And so when Israel made the golden calf, it was an image in the past that came back to haunt them. You see, when they had the relationship with God, God was there present with them. Moses was there with them. There is a sense of security and God's presence. But when Moses was not there for 40 days and 40 nights, it was a long time. But it was a time also of testing, whether we would follow the Lord, whether someone else is looking over our shoulders or not. If we need someone else to look over our shoulders for us to follow him, then that fellowship that is not sincere. It's not genuine from the heart. But the Lord sought for Israel to follow him wholeheartedly. And so Moses had to pitch his tent outside the congregation. And for Israel to be restored in their relationship with their God, they had to repent of their sins of idolatry, and God had to pardon them. And he had to renew the promise, the covenantal promise with them. And in that renewal, God stipulated the terms of faithfulness. God stipulated the terms of faithfulness. They are not to be unequally yoked with the nations in Canaan, where God will enable them to possess their land. God would enable them to drive out these nations but they are to make no covenant with them, especially in marriages. Why is it so important? Because that's where the heart of God's people will be turned away from Him. And that is going to be so devastating, as we would see in the life of the people of Israel, that God had to emphasize it over and over again. So we may have come to God and seek a renewal of faith to come, perhaps through baptism, public confession of faith, right, to say that we want to serve God, we want to do this for the Lord. Well, then there is with it a responsibility, right? Everyone who comes to want to serve the Lord, there is a responsibility for keeping that relationship with God vibrant. And the Lord had to stipulate the terms for faithfulness. Now, why is it that God would seek that they would not follow any other God? It is stated here in verse 14, which we saw last week. For thou shalt worship the Lord, or thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Why is God called a jealous God? Well, because of that relationship that God has of faithfulness that God has with His people that warrant no other rivalry. Why? Because that relationship is the main relationship that God has sought for us to establish with Him. And therefore the Lord wants us to understand, when they went a whoring, what they did was that they are spurning all the blessings, all the goodness that God has bestowed upon them. And so here in our text, we are speaking about the exhortation to faithfulness. How is it that we can continue to walk with God and be faithful in our walk? So the first thought we saw last week was pardon. That they needed to seek a renewal of their faith to make right with God. And you see, the spirituality of the Israelites were at its low. They were unable to pick themselves up from their spiritual weakness and lethargy. You see, that kind of a spiritual low and weakness is very frightening. Right? Moses interceded for them that God will pardon them and make a way out for them out of all their weakness. How can a stubborn people be helped? Because they think that they know better. And so they begin to want to use their so-called ingenuity to be able to come forward. But in God's economy, there is no such thing. And because there is that stubborn streak, they cannot resist themselves from saying something. And so that's sad. Right? And the Lord said they are a stubborn, stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked. And how can stubborn people be helped? We said that vital spiritual life can only be imparted by God. And what is it that causes us to rise up? It's because of pride. Pride. We think we know better. And that is a very sad thing. That's how Satan fell. Lucifer fell. Because of pride. And the Lord wants us to, you see, understand that relationship is so precious. If we think that we are able to exist, subsist without Him, that's where trouble comes. And that is the Aaron mentality, you see. Right? When the people called and met Aaron, come up and said, it's okay, let's build the golden calf. That's sad. It's very sad. Right? Because the veering away, right? One voice said this, and they said, hey, you can say that. I will also do that. Wow, then that's the end. Why? Because then there won't be a peace, right? But there will gender a lot of strife. And so we have to check ourselves and to keep ourselves restrained. It's important, because we always think that we know better, but we don't know oftentimes. And that's what Israel happened to Israel. Build a golden calf. Build a golden calf. Unfaithfulness. There is a root to the sin. There is a root to it. And it's sad. And there is that stubbornness, that refusal to repent. That refusal, right, to follow the law. And that is sad. But, well, the Lord knows. And how can you help a stubborn people? Well, we all cannot. We realize that we cannot. Only God can. But for all who God gave a heart that is teachable, then there is that yielding. When there is that yielding, then there is that hope. There is the way out, you see. So, it was acknowledged. It was acknowledged. And here we see, why did Moses plead for God to take Israel as his inheritance? Because Israel did not belong to them? No, Israel already belonged to them. It's because, well, they are a people of God. God made them. But because they choose to estrange themselves from Him, and that's where the problem comes. And can our relationship with God be severed by unfaithfulness? Well, our relationship with God is restored when there is true repentance. When there isn't, then you find that, there is no help. The prodigal son, he had to go and he had to experience great hardship before he realized that the blessings that he has been receiving all this time. And the Lord knows. He came back and the father received him. So there is that working out of the heart. So a man who is truly in the Lord, you'll find that there will be a coming back. There will be a returning to the Lord. Returning to the Father again. Why? Because we understand our position in the sight of God. We are willing to be in, well, the family economy, as it were, right? Father with the son. And so when the people repented, God made a covenant with them. God made a covenant with them, and God said to them that He will go with them. Right? Verse 10, Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth and in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the Lord, the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe that thou that which I command thee this day, before I will drive out before thee the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites. So God promised them that He not only will has established them as a nation, God gave them the laws by which they are to live, and then God will drive out their enemies so that they will have the land. So, then what? Then the Lord said to them that you are to keep your purity. You are to keep your purity. You would become a nation, a full-fledged nation. Land would be allocated, allotted to each one of your families. And you will establish yourself as a people. But keep yourselves pure. Do not have a double heart. Be not unequally yoked with the people of the land. So here the Lord says to them that Israel will continue to receive God's favor as long as they keep themselves pure and not defile themselves with sin. So we said that we have been washed from by the blood of Christ. We have been baptized, dead with Christ, buried with Him in baptism, and rise with Him, right, as in the resurrection to a new life. But does it mean that we are vigilantly living a life of holiness before God? Because if we are not, we are still going about living our own life, right, only in a certain way. You know, you can, but not wholly. Then you would find that there won't be a true strength in that life. And it can be seen through, you know. Means that it can be exposed. And so that life is not that real. And it's frightening. So Israel, God said to them that they are to keep themselves pure. Keep themselves whole, sincere, to follow their God. And it's so important, isn't it, that they are to do so because they are a witness for God. They are a representative for God. We are a witness for God. But you realize also that the more you want to serve Him and walk with Him and do His will, the more you find that there will be resistance. The world will come and attract you. Satan will tempt you sore. And the flesh within you will rise up to cause you to want to yield to it. And so Israel had repented. God had pardoned them. And God had affirmed His covenant, His promise to be with them, to follow them. And God said to them that you are to keep yourselves pure. The Lord warned them. Right? Warned them. Hebrews 3 verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. So why do we engage ourselves in a weekly Bible study like that? In order that we may be reminded of our walk with God. We must be reminded constantly, that we are a holy people. God has separated us for a great eternal mission.
And so he exhorted them to purity, that God is a jealous God. He will not have any other way. And then he tells them, our thought today, piety, verses 18 to 26. God has inbuilt within his laws the way by which his people may keep close to him. How do you keep close to God? We said we want to live a life of purity. We want to receive his blessings, his peace, his protection, his preservation, his prosperity for our souls. Well, there were three feasts that were stipulated that Israel is to keep so that they will not forget the Lord their God. And they are to keep their Sabbath day holy. So there are certain spiritual exercises that God instructs his people to follow and observe. Right? For us, we have a Bible study. Midweek, we have a Bible study. Rain or shine, we are here. Bible study. And we have been doing so for many years. Many years. Rain or shine, we are here every Wednesday. And in the night, we have prayer meeting. Rain or shine, we are here. Why is it so? Why do we need to observe and keep these meetings with God? It's for our purity. It is to prove our piety. It is to prove our walk with God. So, for someone who comes for prayer meeting and then missed 1 week, missed 2 weeks, you find that after missing 3 weeks, it's not easy to come back again. Why? Because you find, right, that there is a pull away to keep you from progressing spiritually. And the Lord wants us to know the forces that are working against our spiritual advancement. So sometimes we think, we said, well, we have to get ready, it's in the night time. How to travel in the night? There is this, there is that, there is that, that and that and that. So many things to think about. But here, the Lord is saying to us, right, that let us not forget. Why? Why did the Lord stipulate all the feasts 3 times a year? Because he wanted that they will not forget all that they are receiving from him moment by moment, hour by hour, day to day. And so the feast of the unleavened bread was the first feast from verse 18 to 20. And they were to remember this, right? And this is the 14th day of the month of Nisan, which is the day of the Passover, where they would, and that's in April, where they would come together to remember how they were freed from the bondage of slavery in Egypt to become free men. Do you remember those times when the Lord caused you to be consecrated? You take a vow before the people of God to say that you want to obey the Lord, you want to serve the Lord with all your heart, you want to experience the blessings of God. Well, let us not forget. And so God stipulated this feast, this time where when they would go to the land, they would have to make special preparation to go and meet with God in his house in Jerusalem. Although at this time, right, Jerusalem was not even the capital. They have not possessed the land. All they had is a picture of a tabernacle which they have not built. Only in chapter 35 they will start building the tabernacle. But God had already laid down the terms of faithfulness. Why is it so important? So that we will keep close to Him. So that we will be protected. You see? Because when we stray, we will get hurt. The Lord doesn't want us to get to stray, and we don't want us to get hurt. He wants us to be protected. And so here, it was the beginning of their calendar. And we said that we can be a forgetful people, especially when they would have entered the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, and they will be full and flourishing, outwardly speaking. They must not forget the source of their blessings. It was God who freed them from the bondage. And especially for the new generation of Israelites. That's why they are commanded to teach their children. They are commanded to teach their children's children. Why? Because the faith would die with them if their children would not follow. You see? And the children would not have suffered the hardship that they have suffered. The children would not know what it is to be slaves in Egypt, to be whipped by your taskmaster. The children wouldn't know, wouldn't understand. And so what is the closest that they can do in order to help them to see God instituted this feast? In order that they may know, learn, and recall and not forget, not only for their generation, but the generation that will come after them. So Leviticus 23 verse 4 to 14 gives a detailed description of this feast of unleavened bread. That's the first feast that we were speaking about. These are the feasts of the Lord. These are holy convocations. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month, the feast of the unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. Ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. 7 days. So 7 days they are to observe. Every day an offering. They are to remember what God has done for them. We have to remember that we are sinners. That we have been freed from the bondage of sin. That God has caused us to be so much a free man. That we must not forget where we came from. What were we like when we first came out of our Egypt? And then how the Lord was there to provide for them the nourishment that they needed while they were in the wilderness, when they walked, when they, so they were in some kind of a trouble, some kind of a problem. And they sought help. And it's easy for us to forget. After we are well again, the Lord had helped us. And because we are a forgetful people, the Lord had to institute this feast of piety, we'll say, right, so that they would not forget. And then in the midst of this, verse 21 says, 6 days shall thou work On the seventh day, thou shalt rest in the erring time, in the yearing time, in the harvest thou shalt rest. It means that even in the time when there is harvest, you must not forget your Sabbath rest. Why? Because you can go and run off and take your harvest, and you forget that God is the one who gives you the harvest. It's easy for us to forget, you know, what God had done for us. And so the Lord said, once a week they must rest, even in the yearing time, even in the harvest, the most busiest or the busiest time of the year. All our business must stop when it's time for worship, not the other way around. I need to earn a living, so no other choice. It's not the other way around, you know. We always live our life the other way around. I need to earn a living. But God comes first, because He's the one who blesses our livelihood. He is the giver of our livelihood. So if we forget this, then you'll find that very soon, the peace is taken away from us. And we lose our sight of how far we have come. And the Lord doesn't want us to forget, you see. Doesn't want us to be a people, right, who have received and then forget. Right, just as Jesus, right, when He went into the leper colony, He healed 10 lepers. But only one of them came back to Him. What happened to the other 9? The other 9 did not come back at all. They were so happy because they had been healed that they went about doing their own life. They forgot how they were healed, what God had done for them. And you know, at the end of it, it says, none came to give glory to God. When we have a heart of thanksgiving, we are giving God the glory. By our ungratefulness, we are in a sense, not giving Him the glory. And so, then, there is the Feast of Weeks, recorded in Exodus 23:15-22. It's during the time of June. It is also called the Feast of Pentecost, right, because it comes 7 weeks, 7 weeks after the Passover. And it is a time where they remember the giving that God giving them the law. Remember, when they came out of Egypt, when they reached Mount Sinai, God gave them the law. Okay? When they were, before they came out of Egypt, God commanded them to have the Passover. What is the Passover? They will kill the lamb. And what happened when they kill the lamb? They take the blood and they put it on their doorpost, so that when the death angel came, all the firstborn in Egypt, men and cattle will die, they would be spared. And indeed, they were spared. So, Pentecost, 7 weeks later, 50 days later, when they reached Mount Sinai, they received the law. The Lord says, don't forget. Don't forget. This is where you receive your constitution for the nation. And so, they are to recall what God had done for them. Of the first fruits of wheat harvest, that's a time when they would be harvesting also. First fruit means that they, by harvest, looking at the first fruit, they will know what the harvest will be when it comes. So here, is an anticipation of a future blessing. Then the feast of, so here the Lord is saying to them, right, that they, to remind them that of God's love and care for their well-being, they are to give thanks to Him. God's care for us. You see, God's love for us. He doesn't want us to forget how He loved us. Because we are experiencing it, therefore, you know, we think after a while it becomes a routine to us. No. Cannot be. Right? Cannot be. Then the feast of ingathering, verse 22b, and the feast of ingathering at the year end, right, the month of Tishri, in October 15 to the 21st, also called the Feast of the Tabernacles. At that time, what are they supposed to do? Well, they are to come before the Lord, right, and they are to remember by building tents and staying in tents, to remember that they were once staying in the wilderness. They had nothing, and now they had everything. They have their cilled houses. They have all that they need. So this was to help them recall their humble beginnings, when God picked them up from Egypt, and they dwelt in the wilderness in tabernacles before they entered the promised land. Lest they forget the goodness of God toward them when they are well settled in the land. So these feasts were to be signs to the nations to point them back to Israel's God. And Israel will distinguish themselves as a nation under God by the feasts that Israel will observe and the laws that God will give to them. So three times a year they must appear before the Lord. They need to make preparations. They need to think and consider in all their preparation what God has done for them. So Matthew Henry said, the way of duty is the way of safety. Right? Once a year, we prepare ourselves. We meet for church camp. End of the year, we are going to meet for family day. We gather ourselves together. We prepare again for the next year to come. There are all these things that are going on. Why is it that it's so important that we make a date? Well, if not, we'll be planning for our own holidays, right? Yeah. And then what? Then we forget the Lord. And it's so easy. Where did our prosperity come from? We forget the source. And it's easy for us in our prosperity to forget the Lord. Of course, God had to send leanness again to their soul before they would come back to Him. But if they, and why is it that this has to be done? Why is it that we would not be in the way of duty to know that it's a way of safety? If we serve God, He will preserve us. And those who venture for Him shall never lose by Him. Matthew Henry. So, while we are doing His things, while we are following Him, serving Him, we are under His special protection. God is with us to help us. So, indeed, God, having saved us, God has appointed for the Church of Christ means of grace for worship, for the Lord's Supper, for prayer, for Bible studies, for church camp, for family days, whereby we are gathered together to count our blessings. May we appreciate, appropriate them for
for our special spiritual benefit and advancement. Amen.